You're the only person my dog doesn't yell at that's not in our family.
I hope your dog doesn't yell at anybody. Then we have a scientific marvel going on.
No, I mean...
Hey, get out of my house.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Hey.
No, do you...
Humans, there's a person.
Yo, she does not speak English. She's not a scientific marvel. But she does... She is very protective of her home. And so when people come over, she's upset. Like, she is an awesome dog. She's so sweet and gentle. And then when people come over, she gets really upset.
Well.
Except when you come over.
Well, I go straight to the treats. And there they are. I establish I can give you food, and therefore she likes me.
She also, right now, like, just a couple seconds ago, like, Thomas was petting the dog, and whenever you stop, she throws this giant paw onto your arm, digs her claws in, and pulls your hand back over to her.
It was a sad day in AP psychology my senior year. Hi, Yoshi, sniffing the mic. Where someone asked, like, hey, do dogs love humans?
Yeah.
And our teacher was like, well, like, she couldn't give an answer. And then she was like, basically what happens is if you feed them, that's it. They just, if you're the one who feeds them, there you go. And
what does your teacher know? Why does your teacher get to be an authority on this?
I just kind of agree with it, though.
It's obvious that dogs love people.
Well, I've read since that, like, dogs, I think dogs, like, have serotonin. I could be wrong about that. They have a similar type of chemical in their body that produces the feelings that we do. Mm-hmm. But I think what she was trying to say is, sure, but it's just because you feed them. You control if they eat or not. This is probably going to be a very controversial introduction to this episode of Ancient.
I'm just imagining. Okay, so for right now, here's what I'm imagining. I'm imagining Laura and Quint Wilson listening to this episode. And, like, I'm just imagining, like, what Laura is wanting to yell back at you. And she has no microphone in her hand right now.
Well, I'm not. I just am bringing. I'm just being the bearer of bad news.
She has a dog that has, like, an Irish last name as its name.
O'Malley.
That's a great name.
I think it's named after the cat from Aristocats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. A dog that's named after a cat. That's like somebody naming their cat after a turkey.
Who would do that? Don't say we have a cat. Maddie will be upset.
You don't have a cat anymore?
We do. It's just that she would not claim him as our own. I just feed him.
He has attacked your wife many times, and for some reason you still feed him.
Well, he doesn't eat his food anymore. He'll greet me when I get out of my car. He'll walk in the house for 2 seconds and he walks out. He just wants to say hey. And he brings us, like, rodents. Like, brought us mice, which I'm like, that would have been in my house if you didn't kill it.
If we could interview Laura and Quint Wilson, if we could interview, like if you could interview so many people that listen to do so many people listen to this podcast?
No.
That have...
Don't flatter us.
That have and love their dogs. Like, I think they would say, like, I know for a fact my dog loves me, and it's not just because... We have a real Job situation going on here.
Like Job from the Bible or
Job from the... Like Job from the Bible, like, because Satan says to God, well, of course Job loves you. You hook him up. But if you stop hooking him up, then he'll curse you to your face.
I mean, like, Yoshi doesn't just... She doesn't love me. She tolerates me.
I don't know. I think Yoshi really likes you.
Okay. But it's because I scratched her and gave her a treat.
Well,
that's all I'm trying to say. I'm
just saying, what's not to love about that?
Which, like, you know... I love you because you're kind to me and we've been friends a long time. There's always a stipulation there, I would imagine.
I was going, like, to say, I don't scratch your head and like, buy you treats.
I love, like, biblically speaking, we have to love people.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So we're getting into the theology early here. The Bible says we have to love people, but it doesn't say we have to like people.
Hey.
And it doesn't say we have to be best friends with everybody.
Right.
But I would say that... Typically, I'm friends with people who are kind to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
If someone's not kind to me, then I'm not there. Like, it's one of those things where it's there is a stipulation for things.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, so you're mixing...
I'm saying that's why dogs... Yeah, do they love me? Sure. But it's because I pet my dog and I feed her. That's why... Like, she wants things from me.
Yes.
Dobby wants stuff from me. That is why she likes me. And I give them to her.
Look, Dob the Builder loves you all on her own. That's what I'm saying.
I just feel like if Dobby loved me, she wouldn't run off sometimes.
Oh, no. We just turned a corner.
It makes me so mad.
We just turned a corner into a
counseling
session.
You've never seen me madder than when I let my dog out to go to the bathroom, and then she's after a deer. And I'm like, I give you a home. I give you food. I pay for your shots. I take you to the vet. You should never betray me.
You know, can we extend this out a little bit, this whole theory? Like, I just feel like, if the offensive coordinator of the University of Michigan loved me, then he wouldn't call such stupid plays in the third quarter. You know what I mean?
I just feel like, yeah.
If you love the fans, call better plays in the third quarter.
Right.
Look, we cheer for you. We're there in the good times and the bad.
All I'm saying is if Tennessee football loved me, they would realize I've spent hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on tickets in my life.
Yes.
And we have sucked
and merch
for the prime years of my life.
Also, like if the powers that be at the University of Kentucky loved their fans, they wouldn't put that stupid checkerboard on the shoulder.
They wouldn't put the checkerboard on the shoulder. They wouldn't almost lose to UTC. There's a lot of wouldn'ts there.
Hey, we want to take a couple of minutes on this episode to welcome our buddy James Mason into the world.
Yes.
James.
Happy birthday, James.
You are a lovely boy.
Yes. And also, when this episode airs, it'll be my wife's birthday.
Oh! Yeah. Happy birthday, Matt.
Tomorrow, your birthday is tomorrow. That's what... Because, you know, like, I think... Is it true that the happy birthday song is, like, copyrighted, so that's why people can't sing it at places?
Well, it is the most... It is the most covered song in the history of songs.
Okay, maybe I made that up.
The second is Yesterday by Paul McCartney.
Yeah, well, so right now when you turn on Fortnite, they have like a remix of Happy Birthday playing when you're riding the bus because it's their fourth birthday.
It's Fortnite's birthday?
Yeah, fourth. Wow. Crazy. Anyways.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a...
We're going to get a lot of flack for that.
Hey, man, this is a controversial cold
open. Let's just be clear. Sometimes we say things... Towards like one person on this show, and it's we know what we're gonna get out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't come in game planning.
I didn't
this like dog thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think. Let me stir up some drama. It just happened.
You just had to reference your psychology class from high school.
Well, I was trying to say it was a sad day.
Do you think your psychology teacher listens to this podcast?
Do I think Miss Shipley listens? No,
Yvonne Shipley.
No, she does not.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah,
We're gonna do a little bit different something today. Little different episode we've got going on for you guys today. We're going to talk about a few random people in the Bible that probably don't get a lot of screen time.
Right.
Don't, you know, names aren't in lights maybe so much. And just talk about why we think their little story is interesting. So this will be kind of lightning round, but we hope you find it interesting and we hope there's some kind of tidbit of encouragement for you in there. We don't know, but we definitely think there are some folks who either they don't get the spotlight very much or they do, but maybe for a weird reason. So that is a reference to one of my people, but why don't you kick us off? Who's somebody that you want to shine a light on from the scriptures?
Sure. Well, okay, so I said we need to do like a jingle for this. That's what I thought we were going to do.
Oh, yeah, I'm not ready for that.
Okay, well, sorry.
Are you going to jingle your person?
Well, I sang one on the way over here, and I can't remember what it was. I like to make jingles. That would be like, it would be a thing. So I'm looking at two people. Both of them start with D's. One, I'm going to start with Daniel first. What?
Okay, Daniel. Like as in the book of Daniel, like there's a whole book in the Bible.
There's a whole book in the Bible. And it's called Daniel. I'm going to talk about the guy of whom it's named after,
right.
Which, so like, I think a lot of people they'll hear the word Daniel and they automatically think of the lion's den. Like that's
no question. I mean, if you go to Vacation Bible School,
right.
And somebody puts Daniel up on the felt board in Sunday school, it is going to be Daniel in the lion's den.
When I think about my childhood, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are also in the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
King Nebuchadnezzar. I think of the walls of Jericho. I'm just like, okay. There's like four Old Testament stories that we ever
Samson,
talked about.
For some reason.
Samson, but that was very diluted.
Oh, yeah.
It was just that he was strong and had cool hair. You know, that's about it.
For a time.
Rightfully so that one was diluted. But yeah, you think of stuff like that, and you think of Abraham, like, going off to kill Isaac, like that, like those things, yeah. Just as like a test
that's
of your faith.
A rough sentence.
Yeah. anyways, the thing I wanted to hone in on Daniel is it's easy to think of him in the lion's den, which is, it's a fantastic story. I think I want to think about what got him there, yeah, and what got him in the situations he was in.
Go ahead.
And it was his just undying faith to the Lord. It was, period. That was, he just didn't care. He didn't care that whoever became king of Babylon whenever he was there would decree, like, y'all need to be worshiping me and no one else, or yeah, that people would try to trap him in order to get him in those situations, because Daniel just straight up was like, I'm not doing that. That's not what I'm asked to do. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what happens to me if I go about not doing the things that you've asked me to do, because I'm doing what the Lord's asked me to do. Daniel multiple times is called on to interpret a dream for whoever it is, and then he does it, and he just straight up says what needs to be said. Like,
I know.
At one point, he says it to, is it Belteshazzar? I don't know how you say his name. He's just like, he's Nebuchadnezzar's son, right? Did, yeah, I make that up?
Belteshazzar.
Belteshazzar. One of the names, that's
name
Daniel.
That's,
yeah,
Daniel's,
one of them, they keep saying, who's also known as this, but for, yeah, some reason, they always put it in parentheses, like, also known as this. I'm like, why are you, yeah, just leave it out. We get
it's,
it at this
it's
point.
Like Lord of the Rings. Everybody's got a bunch of names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, if I remember this correctly, Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. We're going to say the son of Nebuchadnezzar from here on out. The son of Nebuchadnezzar is just, like, at one point, Nebuchadnezzar kind of like, like, Daniel tells him how it is, and he's like, okay. Like, that, yeah, is, that after he throws Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, like,
yeah.
Am I remembering this correctly? Because I'm going off of memory right now. I'm not reading.
You know, we're right there. We're kind of landing on the runway.
Okay, yeah. Well, so I don't want to just be right there. I want to tell the truth.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying is we don't do enough preparation for this podcast for us to be able to really.
Yeah. This is going to be one that Tom probably skips.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of Belteshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar. And at one point, like, Nebuchadnezzar gets, like, sent off into the, to, like, try to figure out what this looks like to not be the one everyone worships all the time. Yeah. And then he like, you know, perishes, and Belteshazzar takes over, his son. And Belteshazzar is just a rascal and a scoundrel.
Yeah,
he's the worst.
Yeah.
And there's a, like,
just,
out of
just
nowhere,
a rich party boy.
Yeah, and out of nowhere, in the middle of one of his parties, this hand shows up and writes some stuff on the wall.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, that's so bizarre. And then he has Daniel interpret it, and Daniel's like, oh, by the way, you watched your father be terrible and then kind of figure it out, and you're still terrible. It's not going to go well for you. And then later that night, he just gets stabbed.
Yeah.
Like,
you're losing
killed.
The kingdom tonight to the Persians.
Yeah.
You, and the translation of the writing on the wall was, you've been weighed, measured, and found wanting.
Yeah.
Tonight, the kingdom is going into somebody else's hands.
It says that very night, Belteshazzar, king of the Babylons, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. It just, like, that dude just got it. But the thing that stands out to me is Daniel is unaffected by power. He's unaffected by glory. He's unaffected by the desire to be awesome. He is just like, this is what God says. This is what's true. I'm not going to give in to your desires and wishes because you are sitting on a throne. I'm not, because you have power over everyone else, it doesn't matter. I don't really care. Kill me. I don't care. Throw me in a den with lions who are going to eat me. I do not care. I trust the Lord. He's going to take care of me. It's going to be what it is. Like, worst case scenario, I close my eyes on this world and I wake up face to face with him. It's and so he's cool. unaffected by it. I think it's awesome.
It is. And the this is like a my kids would be like, well, great way to flex, Dad. But like when Matt and I were several years ago, when Matt and I were in London, we went to the British Museum and they had a you turn down this one hallway and the whole wall was a stone carved gate that they had gotten from Babylon in 600 BC. And it was like, oh, the teenage Daniel, when he was stolen from Jerusalem and marched all the way to Babylon, all the awful things that happened to him, he literally walked past this stone carved thing that I'm standing in front of right now. And it was the trippiest experience. Like, just like, you just feel connected to this dude who was just amazing, like you're talking about. I want to look at somebody that shows up in Acts chapter 8. There was a guy who was, he's known as the Ethiopian eunuch. He's a guy that worked for the queen of Ethiopia. And so they would make those guys eunuchs so they could just trust them. And then they would have all this kind of influence and power and administrative duties and everything. And he was an official in they say in the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. He had come to Jerusalem. He had apparently just kind of like come to know the true God and maybe had kind of converted to Judaism, which was not an uncommon thing throughout different parts of North Africa. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. He's on his way back, and he's like, this is a very, very important and powerful dude in the Ethiopian government. And the Spirit of God sent one of the early apostles, this dude named Philip, to where this dude was. Go walk beside this guy's chariot as he's coming out. And he was reading from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And he's reading Isaiah chapter 53, just that famous part of the scriptures where it so explicitly talks about how Jesus would take our place and pay for our sins, and that by his wounds we would be healed and all that stuff. And this Ethiopian eunuch is reading this. He's converted to Judaism. He believes in God. And Philip asks him, or the eunuch asks Philip, can you explain this to me? Or, you know, Philip says, do you understand this? And he's like, how can I understand it unless somebody explains it to me? And so he invites Philip up into the chariot to sit down and talk, you know, up into the carriage to sit down and talk about it. And he was literally reading this passage. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch's like, who's this about? And Philip just tells him about Jesus. And what I love about this guy is, I mean, he has every, he is powerful. He is rich. He is influential. But he has this emotional and spiritual honesty that when he hears about Jesus, it immediately impacts his actions. He just immediately says to Philip, okay, I'm in on this Jesus thing. Philip explains the whole Jesus thing to him. Jesus died for our sins. It just happened here in Jerusalem. And he was raised from the dead. We all saw him and everything. And the eunuch says, why shouldn't I get baptized right now? And he's like, let's go do it. And Philip baptizes the dude and then disapparates. The Spirit just transports Philip away, which is, I love apparition. I just think that was the coolest moment when somebody just apparates right there in the New Testament. And so, but what I love about this guy is he's reading something from the scriptures. He doesn't immediately understand it. Somebody helps him understand it. And his very first reaction is, well, then this is going to impact what I do today. I love that. I love that his thing is, I'm going to let what I have learned about Jesus impact my actions for the rest of this day. And that's where I want to get to. That I have an immediate, who can stop me from carrying out the thing that I've just understood about Jesus. Love that guy.
I think that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't have a ton to add to that. I don't have anything to add to
that. It's all good.
It was all good. There's a place in Judges chapter 4.
Judges.
Back to the judges. Wow. Double old T for Tomboy today. No one saw that coming.
That was just like, that was like a sentence you would pull out of your days when you were like doing radio calls for sports games.
Here's the thing. The other day you mentioned the phrase, you said your best stuff comes off the air. Like, people don't hear the things that you say. Yeah. So that was one that I would say.
Yes.
At any point in my lifetime. But there, okay, so there's a woman in the Old Testament by the name of Deborah.
Yeah.
And basically she's one of the judges. She sits under a palm tree and just tells people how it is. It's really cool. Like, literally at a place called Deborah's Palm. You know, it's like, this
pretty,
is...
pretty good gig.
Yeah, it's a great gig. I mean, like, golly, she's just sitting on the beach. Just I mean, she's not on the beach, but, like, she's just sitting under a palm tree, hanging out, sipping a Mai Tai or something, and just just Jay chilling.
Bring me Mai Tais. Let me tell you what God thinks about this whole thing.
Yes, and then there's this crazy thing that happens where she's sitting there and this guy named Barak comes up to her and is like, what is it, does she call Barak to come to him? Anyways, Barak, the leader of a bunch of armies, comes up and she's like, hey, we got to go do this thing. And he's like, I'll do it if you go with me. And she's like, great, I'll go with you. But, you know, you're not going to be the one who gets the glory for this, my man. Like, he's sent off to destroy this army. And she's like, okay, I'll go with you, but you're not going to get the glory.
That's right.
In fact, it's going to be a woman who gets the glory, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, and when you hear that, you assume that he's saying that what she means by that little prophecy right there is, little micro prophecy, is you assume that means that Deborah herself is going to be the one who gets the glory for the battle.
Right. And, but it's so cool. So, like, she tells him, like, okay, go get 10,000 people from Naphtali and Zebulun, and we're going to go take down these people. And literally, they just destroyed them. They chased them down. I think at one point it says there was nobody left. They were all slain by the sword. Just like, this whole army.
Hung a 50 burger on them.
Yeah. It was bad news. But the one guy who led them, like, gets away. And he just, like, takes off running and running and running and running and running. Finally, he, like, comes up to this tent and he's like, hey, let me in. I'm going to hang out here. And this lady named, I've been pronouncing it Jael.
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
Yeah, but this lady named Jael is like, great, come in. Come on in, lay down, hide under here. And the dude, like, she's like, he's like, can I have some water? And she gives him, like, curdled milk, which I'm like, can you imagine anything worse? I've been running through the desert. It's the equivalent of lentil soup. Like, that's what it is.
Gosh.
But, like, that's inside story from Lee and myself.
Yeah.
But, like, you're just, imagine you just ran a marathon. It's 200 degrees after fighting a battle, and someone hands you cottage cheese, which I think was in, like, if I remember correctly, it was in, like, a goat stomach or something. It was kept in some type of skin.
Yeah.
So you're just, like, meaty cheese that is supposed to quench your thirst. Ooh, there's the title of the episode. We all have done it. Meaty cheese. With the anyways,
I was going to call the episode a controversial cold open.
Oh, that's great.
It's going to be hard to surpass.
Yeah, she just pushed that thing off with her nose. And she's like, I did that on purpose. But anyways, so the dude, like, falls asleep.
Yep.
And Jael, who, like, has just, like, kind of, like, quasi taken care of him, takes a tent stake and a hammer and jabs it through his temple.
Into the ground. Yeah.
And you're just
literally,
like,
pins him to the ground.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
But this guy was the absolute worst.
Yeah.
And Deborah was like, hey, I'm going to go with you. I'll do it, but you're not going to get the glory for it, Barak. And Barak is like, okay, whatever. And then Jael is the one who, like, the story gets told. And Deborah writes this, like, she writes this song about it. And she says, hear this, you kings. Listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord, the God of Israel, in song. When you, Lord, went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water, the mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. I love, first of all, I love songs to the Lord. I love songs to the Lord about the earth not being able to control itself.
Yeah.
It just can't handle it. It can't handle
That's
him.
That's awesome. Third of all, I want to add in there, as you keep going, I love songs to the Lord by women in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, there's some great ones. Like, mm-hmm. you think about, like, the prayer of Hannah and this song Deborah.
Mary.
And yes, the Magnificat from Mary. Like that. There's just some great songs by women.
Yeah. There's
women
just
songwriters. Like women songwriters. Like James Taylor one time said, "You've Got a Friend by Carole King is the greatest song that's ever been written. I will never play a concert without playing that song."
Yeah, it's
and beautiful. He never has played a concert since that time.
It's beautiful. I wanted to share this because one, it's probably not one I would have heard in my church growing up.
No,
for a couple of reasons. One don't. Being the fact that someone got speared through the temple. I don't know what the second one is.
Well, I don't know that most little kids like cottage cheese. I think that's like an acquired taste. Well, I don't know if the story translates that well into the felt board.
Right. Yeah, felt board. Wow. Golly, you've said it once already, but I just now connected the dots. It's a story that I've read before, but I guess I didn't pay enough attention to. And I just thought it is so awesome. That I mean, I don't know. I love the song. I only read like four verses from it. But I do. I think it's so. I don't know. I don't even know where I'm gonna land on it. And this. We literally had a discussion about this before we recorded the episode.
Well, I think one thing for me is just like, just that. This woman was in touch with the Lord, and she knew like. He's going to take care of business.
Mm.
And he totally does. And he uses these women, these two women now. And I mean, soundly takes care of business. There is no like, you know, it was by unanimous decision. This person won this fight. You know, it's like, no, this is a stone cold knockout.
Yeah. Yeah. It says at the end of her song that the land had 40 years of peace after this.
Mm.
I just thought it was cool.
That's cool. I want to talk about somebody that everybody knows who they are in the Bible because of reasons, but I don't know if his particular story like about him gets told very much.
I have my fingers crossed for who this is, but I think I'm going to be wrong.
Luke.
Nope, that's not who I thought.
Who were you thinking?
I was hoping it was going to be Thomas.
Well, we talked about that last episode.
I know. I just didn't know if he was. That shows how little we prepped for this. I didn't know you were going to talk about Luke, the doctor, who wrote a book.
And in fact, wrote two books. So
And spent some cool time with Paul and comes in and out of.
Yeah. So this is what I'm on about. Sorry. Right here.
Just hijacked your thing.
Hey, do you want to take my thunder? Here it is.
There you go. You're talking about Acts 16 or Acts 28. Which one are you going to land on?
Well, I'm going to read the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, but okay. I do want to talk about Acts 16. So like. Just as a precursor, Luke, was one of, I don't know if there's is there another person who wrote a book of the Bible who was a Gentile?
It's a good question. I guess Mark wrote for Gentiles, but he was not.
Definitely not one. So, you know, you think the New Testament writers are Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, and whoever wrote Hebrews.
Jude. I guess
we don't want to forget Jude. You're not allowed to.
He'll be here soon.
Anyway, all that to say, as far as I can think of in this moment, I think that Luke is the only person who wrote a book of the Bible who was a Gentile. But Luke was a physician and was also a really good historian. So he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. Mm,
yep.
And the book of Acts could really be called Luke Volume 2, Luke the sequel. And Luke, I'm back. But what's really cool is Luke... Like, as you're reading the book of Acts, it's all they did this. Like, Peter and James and John, like, they went to this place, they said these things to these people, and this stuff happened. And then it's mostly about Peter for a while, and then all of a sudden, Saul gets saved. Jesus appears to Saul of Tarsus. Everybody starts calling him Paul because he becomes the gospel, the apostle to the Gentiles. And then Paul starts his travels. The Holy Spirit, you know, after an interval of like 14 years of like sit on the bench and get your crap together.
Yeah, get it figured out, man.
Yeah.
Because he was, He's pretty dastardly for a while, you know?
and just pretty out of pocket, like just hard to be around.
There's that thing, and I'm sorry I'm stealing your thunder, but there's that thing, I think it's at the end of Act 7 when...
I think it's like 9. Like, look at chapter
9. No, I thought it was... it was the beginning of 8. Yeah, it's Acts 8:1. It's right at the end of Stephen stoning, and it says, just and Saul approved of their killing him.
Oh, my bad.
And you're just like...
I thought you were going to talk about the time where that they got rid of Paul... And it said, and then the church grew in peace and everybody had a great time.
No, I was just thinking, like, I was thinking about the fact that he approved of the stoning of, like, one of the sweetest dudes. I mean, we don't know a ton about Stephen, but he kind of in the same vein of Daniel, just like
the face of an angel.
I don't give a crap. I'm just telling you about this.
Like, straight up. But so, I mean, but all that to say, like, most of the book of Acts is they. You know, Peter went here and did that. And then Paul, he did that. And they traveled there and there. And then all of a sudden in Acts chapter 16, it switches to, and then we set sail for. And you're like, we?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Luke just entered the story. Like, Luke just met Jesus. Like, this just happened. He's in this city and he's telling people about Jesus. And this doctor hears the message and is like, I'm in. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm so in that I'm now leaving my life and I'm traveling with you. And you. And you can just see Paul like, hey, you want to come with? And it's like, yes. And all of a sudden, they becomes we. And then he starts keeping notes. Yeah. And there's a place where Paul gets arrested, and he's in house arrest in Caesarea Philippi for 2 years in Israel when they went back to Israel. So for 2 years, Paul is just grounded. And Luke is... with him, meeting his needs and all that kind of stuff. But like, he's also thinking like, wait, I'm here in Israel. Paul's not going anywhere. I can set up logistics to meet his needs, but then I can go around and interview everybody about Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're all still alive. Yeah. Like, even Jesus's mom is still alive. Which, okay, so I'm going to read the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Which some people say Theophilus is a specific person that he was writing this to. He mentions Theophilus again in the beginning of Acts, Luke volume 2. Other people say it could just, I mean, literally in the Greek, Theophilus just means like a friend of God or somebody who loves God, a lover of God. So it could be in general, but, or it could be a person named Theophilus, Theo. But the thing that is really critical here is while Paul was in house arrest for 2 years in Caesarea Philippi, Luke went around with his notebook and started adding to his notes from everything that he had already learned from Paul, starting in Acts chapter 16 through the, you know, like it, all the stuff that he was making notes on for Acts, all of a sudden he starts making notes for Luke. So he went and found Jesus's mom. And that's why we have such a detailed account of the angel appearing to Mary and Mary's pregnancy and like what happened in the stable and what happened on that night when shepherds showed up and like, angels were singing and you know, all that stuff. It's like we have that account because Luke literally, and this is just gives me chills. Like he sat down with Jesus's mom, looked her in the eye and said, tell me everything.
Yeah.
God, which that's so cool.
It gives me chills to think about Mary recounting that.
Yes.
More like just like.
Well, think about this one sentence that happens. I'm sorry. I cut you off again, but think about this one sentence that happens in Luke chapter 2 where it says that Mary, like she pondered up all these things and treasured them in her heart.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you're like, wow. Because he could see like the, you know, just the twinkle in her eye.
I know it's so interesting because Mary has her moments too where you're like, did you forget? You know, like.
Yeah, Mark chapter 3, not great.
Have you lost your mind? What do you, like, you know, she's like, get out here. We need to talk. What's going on, man? You know, like.
Yeah.
And you're like, what, you saw an angel.
Right.
Sister. But it's cool that like you said, pondered these, treasured these things. And I can imagine though, because we've talked about a lot on here, just recounting things that you've gone through spiritually and things the Lord's done for you are always good. Because we all do that stuff. We all have beautiful moments in our faith, and the Lord does this really cool thing in our life, and it's like, I'll never forget that. I'll never not act this way. And then a week later, you're a big fat sinner again.
Well, see, this is what I love about Luke, is that as soon as he met Jesus, he understood, or he was called to, or the Lord just put it on his heart that, like, it's important that I make sure that people know where they came from.
Mm.
They know their story. They know they know how this happened. And I'm going to take notes. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to investigate everything thoroughly, because people forget.
Yeah.
People forget where they came from. People forget what God did for them. So I'm going to be a part of people being able to hang on to it.
Cool.
A little different episode.
That was fun. Yeah.
It was fun. Mm. Thanks for hanging with us, folks. Look.
This week we talked about people on our show. We had Daniel, Deborah, Luke, and the eunuch. It's ancient and new. People we're learning about today. Hey.
That's literally like, that's like a Hasbro toy commercial from the 80s.
That's literally,
that's the vibe.
Like, I think that was a terrible one, but sometimes I really connect the dots and I'm like, good gosh, did anybody hear that? Sometimes I'll make jingles up in our house, and I'll be like Maddie, most of the time Maddie will tolerate it, and then after about 30 minutes, she's like, okay, you have to stop.
That's enough.
But every once in a while I'll do one, I'll be like, did you hear that one? Like, that was good. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah, Thomas, that was good.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
She'll go, stop. She'll throw her voice, and it's really funny. She does it on purpose. She'll like... crack her voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Please stop.
It's like the way Austin will text sentences where he capitalizes random letters.
Yeah. You're just like, what?
Just to make a stupid, like, oh, yeah. Just to visually express sarcasm.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for listening, folks. We love you. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You made my when set you free. You are free.